What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or YouTube, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you very much. We appreciate your support. It's been a wild ride, and I'm so grateful to have all the people listening. You know, for the first couple of months, I was convinced I was talking to myself, but that has been proven. That's been proven wrong by the amazing support that I see via email. So if anyone is interested, you want to connect with me, go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You'll find all sorts of information about what I'm up to. And also you'll find some links to our sponsors, and they help the show to happen and grow. So thank you to C60 Purple Power and Ken Schwartz. He's been a phenomenal partner to have. They sent me some of the products back in February. I started taking it immediately, started giving it to my cat immediately. She is still going strong, even though she has got some serious medical issues. But I'm telling you right now, I could pinpoint it to the change in her demeanor was when she started taking C60 Purple Power. I was giving her my formula, but they actually do have a pet formula, which Ken later sent to me. So now she's on that. If you're interested in finding out a little bit more about it, go to c60purplepower.com. You can read up all about it. It's an amazing product. I mean, the guys won the Nobel Prize for discovering the C60 carbon atom back in the late 80s. So it's got to be doing something right. It is the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything that's out there. It hasn't been approved by the FDA, but I'm not really too concerned about that because it's working pretty damn nicely for me. So if you're interested, go to c60purplepower.com and use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. Also, since we're talking about planning ahead and taking care of yourself, My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to set up a website for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And if you go there, you can save yourself some money on a 4-week supply of food and also a 3-month supply. And man, after what we've been through in the last year or so, you got to get yourself prepared. And if you're unable or unwilling to go through this link, that's okay. Just go somewhere and get yourself prepared. Start buying extra food, start buying extra batteries, start being proactive. If you like these sorts of shows, you're already into unusual topics. So you might as well, and you're probably getting ridiculed by your friends and family. So at least take the additional step of acting on this information that you get. You'd rather be a month or two early than a day late, especially when it comes to supply chain breakdown. So go take a look at preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Save yourself some money. They've got free shipping inside the United States as well. Well, considering the topic of the day is the weirdness happening inside the United States, I think that we can bring on somebody who has who's qualified to speak about a variety of different topics. Matt Landman is here with us. Matt, how are you doing? It's nice to finally meet you. I've been appreciating and enjoying your work from afar for a while. How are you doing these days?
Hi, Charlie. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, you're doing really important work. And for a long time, we in the alternative media and the people that enjoy these sorts of topics had been all over the chemtrails idea. And if you talk to some normie, as Corbett likes to call them, they'll say, oh, that's just exhaust from jets. That's contrails. That's nothing to talk about. You guys with your theories and ideas are out there making big deals out of nothing. And then John Brennan goes on in front of a House panel, subcommittee, something or other, and explains that the CIA is working on the atmospheric aerosol injection program. And like many things that we've been talking about for years and years, once again, we're proven right. And I didn't need John Brennan to tell me that it was a real thing. I have you. You've been doing this amazing work. What led you to come to this understanding or get you sort of interested in the idea of what's going on above us?
Great question. And yes, that CIA John Brennan clip is in the middle of my film, Franken Skies. Franken Skies come out in 2017. It's an expose documentary. It does the chronology of the history of the weather modification geoengineering program. Starts off in the 1920s. And so by the time we get to modern day, that clip is in there, the CIA. John Brennan basically just casually talking about what they're doing in plain sight. But my story... I grew up in Virginia and then I eventually made it to California. I wanted to go to film school. And eventually I ended up in Northern California in film school and also coupled that with an MBA and got a master's in business. Got out of school, worked another office job, but finally in rural Northern California on the Pacific coast, I got a job at an organic farm. I was growing potatoes and squash and really got grounded. It was amazing what I learned. One thing that I like to say is I learned day one that potatoes grew potatoes. And I thought I knew so much and I didn't even know that potatoes grew potatoes. So that disconnect to all that is important, you know, life and farming and food and, you know, the earth and all this stuff. But once I started to really get grounded on this farm at the age of 33, I believe it was, I started to really see the bigger picture. And what it was is, I witnessed weather modification firsthand, like seriously firsthand. We're in the midst of a catastrophic drought. We're expecting this week-long 100% deluge, huge storm. It's coming off the coast, huge black cumulonimbus clouds. And the farm that I worked on above was very sparse air traffic, very rural, isolated agricultural community. And on any given day, I'd see one plane fly by. But on the edge of this big storm system, in this given point where I started to really think what was going on, a near dozen, maybe even more than a dozen planes showed up on the edge of a big storm. And they grid the sky with these persistent linear cirrus cloud formation, the lines out of the jets. And I was tuned into a lot of things. I definitely knew 9/11 was an inside job. I was definitely reading my ingredients on food and knew about GMO and all this stuff. I'm not sure if I was even quite there with the jab agenda and whatnot. You know, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole because I don't want you to get in trouble or anything like that, but this is a totally different show. And I lost my YouTube channel recently. So I'm really sensitive to all that stuff. Yeah. Because I was giving medical misinformation evidently.
Of course.
What I witnessed firsthand was weather modification and specifically drought causation.
Yeah.
Okay. After the research that I did and whatnot, I learned that by spraying aluminum oxide, aerosolized metallics such as aluminum, you can dissipate moisture. It's the opposite of seeding clouds. It's spreading out the moisture so it doesn't drop on a certain area. So what I was witnessing firsthand was storm manipulation, drought causation, but it wasn't an aha click in my head or anything like that. I kind of just tabled the memory. I was out harvesting pumpkin, thankful that I wasn't getting drenched wearing my rain boots. And I just had that memory. Fast forward a couple months, and this is how important just one voice can be. Talking on the phone with a friend back home that lives in the East Coast. And I'm talking about my frustrations about the kids nowadays and how they're not awake to 9/11. And a lot of these people in my university, they weren't even adults during that time. You know, they don't have a reference point. And the reference point is on Google. And everyone always says the same thing about 9/11 is, well, I've seen both sides of the story. You know, and it's like, wait a second, there's truth and there's lies, you know, but they don't want to take a strong stance on anything if they weren't there or whatever. And there's the peer ridicule and all this stuff. But my friend says to me, but chemtrails, those are right in your face. How can you deny that? And I had no idea what it was. And I asked him, what are you talking about? He says, dude, just go look it up. I go home, I look it up, and it clicked. I had seen it that day, and I had probably seen it more than once. So I started really digging, and I turned into a chemtrail activist. But the thing is I ran into all of the activism that already existed, and there's already some movie made, and I kind of was like, oh, someone's doing it. Great. I don't have to do it, because I'd already tried, and I'd handed out like 500 flyers and tried to give this little presentation on the campus, the nearby campus, you know, university campus. Nobody cared. You know, my parents, my friends, my family, nobody cared, right? So I kind of literally, I gave up. And further on down the line, a couple of years went by, and I started to research it again, and I realized I'm not really, I'm not necessarily proud of the job that was done in the space, and I think I could do a better job. And that kind of gave me this fire to make Frankenskies and to make a better movie, because I'm using this as a tool and I'm showing people, hey, chemtrails are real. Look at this guy. He made a movie about it. And in the film, there's these different opportunities for the normies to say, what are you talking about? This is totally bogus. Like these assumptions. I went through enough education to learn about correlation and causation. And sometimes corollary things can really throw people off and not, they won't want to listen to you, you know, such as in a movie, if you look at a dead tree and you're saying, yeah, this obviously came from the chemtrails. Look at this dead tree. You know, that's a corollary thing. There's lines in the sky and there's a dead tree, but we really need causation and we need grounded information. And that's why I started to really dig and get the activists together. And I have these global conferences, and I've done a lot in the chemtrail space. It's been amazing. I'd love to tell you all about it. But that's how it really started, is not just waking up to it, but knowing that I could do a better job than the activism that was in the space at the time. And I felt like I could really bring it to the youth. I felt like I could bring some fire to that space and some unity and whatnot. And here we are, we're still trucking, but it's becoming mainstream now, to the point that, yeah, they claim that global warming and climate change is here because of us, and they're going to have to maybe dim the sky with chemtrails, but they're not going to call it chemtrails. They're going to call it geoengineering, and they're going to do it in the public eye with public acceptance through the, you know, brainwashing media and what have you. So,
yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, so we know. I mean, we've heard about World War II. Weather modification, cloud seeding, all these things. And if you're in a war and you're thinking, how can I get the enemy? You make it extra rainy so that they're slogging through mud. And all these things make sense, bordering on evil, of course, but they make sense. So I can understand the cloud seeding component of it, but the drought manufacturing component is a weird one, because you might want a cloud seed in order to have a little bit more rain for your crops, and I can understand where that's going, but to intentionally remove the water from places seems like quite an evil plan. Is this baked into this Agenda 2030 component, or what's the impetus for trying to dry out? And I'm from California originally, and I know how it gets, you know, during the summers it gets dry and things like that, but you were experiencing this in Northern California. It's just getting dried out, and you're going, who benefits from this? What is the plan? Why are they trying to dry up everything and create a dead region?
Great question. I'm currently living in Southern Oregon in Ashland, which is in the Rogue Valley, and there's similar agenda, New World Order, Agenda 2030. It's unraveling right before my eyes here with the recent fires, and they do quell storms as they come through to manage who gets water and who doesn't. The why is a great big question. And it's really important because in a space like chemtrails, where there's been so much ridicule, psychology, misinformation, disinformation, propaganda machine, all this stuff, if you want to convey this message of truth to your friends, family, and peers, they're going to ask who, what, why, where, when, how. And if they can't get that information, then you're just a conspiracy theorist because they can't get enough to pass it on. So mm-hmm. then why are they even going to listen to you? So the why, the short, very short answer of the why is control and greed. The longer answer, which I'd like to go there for a little bit, is to dim the skies with geoengineering. So it's a Hegelian dialectic problem, reaction, solution, where they use the solution as the problem first. Look at that. Right. They've been doing it for a little while. And it's such a twisted mind game on the public because they literally walk them down this dead end where the only door is the door that they've given them, you know, mentally, which is geoengineering, the dimming of the sky. But oh, I wish I had this Time magazine handy. I could grab it. The front page of the Time magazine right now is so revealing because it has these torches with hands and they're lighting these fires and it says climate change, what are we going to do about it? But the real exposure is the hands are lighting these torches. So of these fires in the United States. So what's happening is we have the why is the end game is complete and total control of humanity, you know, and it involves quelling of possible spiritual evolution. I mean, dismantling our sun is huge. It's control of crops, might be even control of our human, you know, destiny as humans. You know, what is exactly is the sun? Does it help us evolve? You know, if you put aluminum and different metals between us and the sun, you're really going to disrupt so much. So they will create these fires and drought. Okay. But the fires, you know, are caused by the drought. And when you're spraying aluminum oxide and barium salts, patented fire accelerants, when you're spraying fire accelerants on these trees, and then you're getting arsonists to light the fires, and then you've got geoengineered 50-mile-per-hour windstorms on top of it. When you could seed clouds and make it rain, instead you're making firestorms, and they're saying, climate change, global warming, what are we going to do about this? Right? They're posing this question. Well, the in-game solution is dimming the sun to slow down the, quote, heating of the planet. That's not really actually happening unless you isolate certain heat waves that are caused by ionospheric heaters and chemtrails themselves. So the why is control. But also, if you know that water, for instance, water was just commoditized just a few months ago. You've got water side by side with pork bellies, timber, and oil when you can trade commodities and whatnot. So if water's been commoditized and you can predict where it's going to rain, where it's not, you know, I mean, Bill Gates has been gobbling up real estate in the United States, agricultural real estate, farmland. So he's now the number one farmland, independent farmland owner in the United States. Well, why would certain people who are in the know, you know, the elite, why would they drought out certain places? Maybe to shut down small businesses, small farms, and gobble them up for cheap. It's a slow and steady process. I think it's part of the, you know, you talked about the food security at the beginning. It's part of the dismantling of the food security. It's part of the overall control grip, you know? But if you can control the weather, you control the world, ultimately, yeah. And at the end of the day. So it's so layered. And you're talking about, well, yeah, it makes sense to make it rain, but it doesn't really make sense to make it drought. They do other things with chemtrails. They make crazy heat waves. They make tornadoes. They spray lithium on populations.
Yes.
Dick Gregory, rest in peace. I plan on featuring Dick Gregory and also Prince in my sequel film, Frankenskies 2, Climate Change.
They knew what was up, for sure.
Yeah, they knew what was up. And check it out. The name of the movie, Frankenskies 2, Climate Chains, it encompasses what I'm talking about because it's the climate change, the shackles are the Hegelian dialectic problem mm-hmm. reaction solution. Like they're creating these weather events, they're creating drought, creating fires, all these things with geoengineering. Mm-hmm. To say, hey, we need to do something about this. We need to geoengineer your planet and take control of it because it's getting out of control because of your carbon emissions, you know, your exhalations from your mouth and your SUV and what have you. But yeah, Dick Gregory talked about the manganese being sprayed in the ghettos of the cities and whatnot. And then people get all aggravated and fight each other. But even in the film Frankenskies 1, which you can find at frankenskies.com, please check it out if you haven't seen it. And if you want a DVD, reach out to me, email me, frankenskies@gmail.com. I'm happy to get a DVD in your living room. In the film, once it starts to get to modern day, in the 70s and 80s, the U.S. Air Force aerosolized and sprayed radioactive cadmium over the low-income neighborhoods in St. Louis. And they sprayed it even from station wagons at ground level and on top of buildings, this radioactive substance, just to experiment on the populations to see how many children would get sick and die from it. I mean, we've got a really nefarious, black, shadow government kind of thing that honestly, if you research Operation Paperclip and you see the roots of these things and when the MKUltra program got developed in the United States, these are scientists from World War II that were snagged from Germany, war criminals, and they've created NASA. NASA has a budget of $52 million per day, $50 million a day. NASA has a chemtrail program called CARE. How ironic and evil. Okay. C-A-R-E, CARE, the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. And they have a fleet publicly, you can Google it up, a fleet of drones and planes and rockets, even the barium release rocket from NASA was patented in 1978 because they're mixing these different chemicals in the sky to do these experiments. And they say publicly in the CARE program, they make noctilucent clouds. These are clouds that would not exist unless they're mixing these chemicals together. And primarily they mix barium, aluminum, and strontium. The NASA CARE program publicly does this with a budget of $50 million a day. And they may be the primary, chemtrail people. And where did NASA and Operation Paperclip and the MKUltra come from? They originated from, these war criminals, if you literally look back. So it's like that encompasses the why as well. It's like, because they're evil, man. That's why.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because since we're speaking of Nazi scientists coming in with these great ideas, it reminds me of when they came over and were working with the Americans, and they said, "Are you guys putting fluoride in the water yet?" And they're like, "No, why?" And they said, "You got to put fluoride in the water. What's the matter with you? Why are you putting you put it? It turns everyone docile. We used to put it in the camps back in Germany." And instead of Americans being, American government saying, being horrified by this, they're taking notes, saying, "Okay, great. Let's add now. What kind of sodium fluoride? What kind of fluoride are we adding here?" Okay, and so you've done work on that. What are they doing to our water supply? Same thing as in the sky?
Well, this is all interconnected. And I like the name of your show, Octopus, because of the tentacles that it's not just one simple explanation. It's all connected. When I first started getting going, someone told me, you have to just be a chemtrail activist. Mm-hmm. You can't mix these different topics because you have to stay focused and be like a specialist in your field. Well, I got that. But then I started to realize that they're all so interconnected. The GMOs, the vaccines, just aluminum alone connects all these things, right? So I made the website actualactivists.com. And on there, it's like your tentacles. It's the umbrella and it connects a lot of these things, especially fluoride, chemtrails, vaccines, GMOs. And a lot of it. So let's just talk about the fluoride. When you make aluminum, when the company Alcoa does the smelting and makes aluminum, to do whatever they do with the aluminum. I think they put it in cans, and then when they recycle the cans, they spray us with it or something like that. But either way, we end up with a lot of aluminum in the sky. So, and in vaccines, which is ridiculous. So the aluminum, when it's processed and they make aluminum, a byproduct, a toxic byproduct of the aluminum production is sodium fluoride. It's what they put in our water. And they're supposed to dispose of this toxic waste, get rid of it. But instead, like you said, they figured out how to dispose of it and get it in everybody's drinking water somehow. And the logic is not even there. If, which it's not, if that chemical was good for your teeth, why is it in your stomach? The water goes right by your teeth. It's not like it has any time to attach to your teeth anyways, even if it was doing that, which it's not. So it gets in your stomach and it totally messes you up. It's really bad. But once it gets in your body, the fluoride, guess what it does? It tries to bond with aluminum and make these chemical reactions because it wants to get back with its parents, basically, So you get aluminum in your deodorant, aluminum in your vaccines, aluminum in your freaking air and some of your food, and then you've got aluminum in your body. Well, guess what? This toxic combination is like almost by design, because you've got this protection of a blood-brain barrier protecting your sacred brain. I mean, this is how we function, right? This is pretty important. It's how we interact. I think that most of us use our brain on a daily basis. If you don't, let me know, and I'll.
Not everybody. Have you been on Twitter lately?
I mean, I go to the grocery store. I see people that probably aren't using it, but yeah. Okay, that aside. No. I haven't been on Twitter recently, but I'm sure it's unreal. So the fluoride is able to bypass the blood-brain barrier and get into your brain. Aluminum can't do that. Okay, it's just by design. Aluminum like doesn't get into your brain as easy. Well, what the fluoride will do is it'll actually pull the aluminum with it, and the two chemicals end up in your brain, and they have little chemical reactions. They literally have these little tiny explosions in your brain when they start to interact and form back together. Also, aluminum and mercury do this crazy thing. If you look up on YouTube or whatever, the mixing of aluminum and mercury, it's a crazy chemical reaction that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. But just those two things, you think about it, Alzheimer's, dementia, these things that are having to do with your brain, it's all related to this umbrella, you know, which is connection of the constituents that are putting in your water and then the spraying in the skies. And if you can just filter your water and create that awareness, you don't get that toxic combination, right? And you don't set yourself up. So then also we can segue into EMF really quick. So yeah. EMF radiation, the radiation coming off your cell towers, smart meters, cell phones, Wi-Fi, baby monitors, all this invisible stuff out there, radio towers, AM, FM radio towers, they all end up emitting RF radiation, radio frequency radiation, aka EMF radiation. And EMF radiation builds up in your body, but what it does, especially studied by the Navy, by experimenting on rats, and they're putting dye in rats in their brains and watching the blood-brain barrier break down over the exposure to EMF fields. So EMF fields also end up in that umbrella of tentacles and interacting with everything, because EMF fields will break down your blood-brain barrier and invite in these toxins that get in your body through your, you know, whatever these toxins, you know, the fast foods or the air or the water and whatnot. So the EMF further, you know, builds this breakdown in the brain, which is what they want. They want to people out there that hardly have any cognitive abilities to think for themselves. Otherwise, they would see the writing on the wall with all these things that are happening all at once. I think it's really important for people to bring the awareness to their community. Is there fluoride in the water? Yes or no? Can we, you know, bring this to the attention and vote on it and get it in or out? Different communities are able to make it happen. I used to live in Sonoma County, right outside the San Francisco Bay Area. The entire county banned it, which is huge, and it's still out of the water there where I live. There's no fluoride in the water, but it's a really toxic thing. And if you read about fluorosis, and it breaks down the minerals in your body, and it's actually bad for your bones. It's a horrible thing. So I'm glad that we talked about that.
Yeah, and I read the story of how Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, was brought in to by Alcoa to you know, they're sitting on all this toxic byproduct waste that they've got to dispose of. And he said, no, we got to come up with an idea. Not only will you not have to pay to dispose it, we'll get people that'll buy it from you, municipalities, to add it to the water supply. We'll talk about how great it does, what a great job it does with improving your teeth. So the lies started early, fluoride being one of them. I bet you if you went to 9 out of 10 dentists you talk to, probably would have no idea if you said, you know, this fluoride is a neurotoxin. Why are you putting it in people's mouths? I bet you they would try to debate you on it or something like that. But now we've moved into this new era, which is, as you mentioned, it's not necessarily that any of these other aspects are going away. It's just a new feature added on top, and that's 5G. And it seems that there is some history to show that anytime a new technology is introduced into the public, be that you know, the telegram or the telephone or electricity or radio frequencies, there's a sort of a period of time where people are starting to get their bodies are starting to get kind of used to it, and in many cases it creates a sickness in segments of the population, and then it kind of dies off. is it unreasonable for us to make a connection between what we saw roll out in 2020 with the COVID situation, which got a lot of people sick, with the release of the 5G technology, which really started a massive push, a cell phone push in 2020. Is there any sort of correlation between, you talked about correlation and causation. Is this just a coincidental thing, or do you think that there might be some sort of connection between the two? I know David Icke was instantly like demonized for even suggesting let's look into it, but is there any there, as Clinton used to say?
Amazing question. And I honestly don't know anybody who could better speak to it. And I'll tell you why in a moment. And yeah, it was very convoluted when it first came out, wasn't it? Really quick, I want to speak on the mention of Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud. Yep. Edward Bernays was able to convince the American public to put fluoride in their water. He was also hired by the bacon people to make bacon a breakfast item. He was also hired by tobacco to get tobacco sexy and all this stuff. Go ahead. I want you to.
Torches of Freedom was what he named the cigarettes for the ladies. Torches of Freedom to empower women's lib. And hey, look, you're going to be a rebel. You're going to have these. But don't worry. 4 out of 5 doctors prefer camels over, whatever they had back then.
Pure genius. And if you can see how he was able to manipulate a generation, then you could probably imagine how his predecessors are able to, with technology especially, and frequency. And if you learn about binaural beats and how susceptible our minds are to manipulation of frequencies and stuff, they've got so many tools now. The predecessors of Edward Bernays are probably just amazing and spot on. Also, he came up with the phrase, trust your doctor and trust the specialist. And that really compartmentalized a lot of thinkings and thoughts. And it made it so that's very structured and smart and diabolical, trust the specialist. And I think he even got everyone to wear white coats so that, unreal. So it's important to know how the basis of how we were socially engineered to get us to where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a company called Spero, S-P-E-R-O, and I make silver-lined foam bags and apparel because silver is the best metal, but it's the best anything out there. It's the best material you can make to protect from the EMF radiation because it bounces the EMF off of the silver. So you weave the silver. It's an amazing process, and you end up with, I've got this foam bag, for instance. Okay, so once I explain it, it'll make a lot of amazing sense. So I've got these foam bags. It's you can't really see it unless you're watching the video right now. So the people that are just on the podcast, it's a little foam bag that you slip your phone in, and it's got silver. It's just all made of silver. You put your phone in, and you close it up, and you don't have any signal inside the bag. It's called a Faraday bag. I sell them. I've been doing it for a couple of years. Right when COVID hit the United States, people started calling me. And I had just gone on coast to coast. So I had like so many sales and so many foam bags out there in the world. It was amazing. But I'd had the company for a couple of years. The foam bags stopped working, Charlie. They worked. They were fine. Everyone loved mm-hmm. them. All of a sudden, they stopped working. And it was right. So correlation, yes, corollary. It was right when COVID came out. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. This is weird. And I ended up making double-lined bags, 2 layers of silver fabric. The single-layered fabric had worked for a decade. There's companies mm-hmm. out there, aside from myself, and they had made this fabric. It works in Asia, and people, pregnant women, love to protect themselves with these fabrics. Now, all of a sudden, the fabrics weren't working, so I made double-lined bags, and now the double-lined bags worked. And I didn't really put it together for a while. Then my friend from back home, he works in DC, he contacted me and he was like, Matt, I got COVID. COVID is real. I don't like you saying that, it's not real. And I'm like, I'm an open book. Well, educate me. Let's figure this out together. He said, well, I lost my sense of taste and I had brain fog for like a week. I couldn't go to work. And I go, okay, did you have a fever? Did you have any like symptoms of like a virus? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, can I ask you, do you have an iPhone? because I'll tell you why in a second. He says, well, me and my wife just got the new iPhone. And I was like, you got the new iPhone, then you started having the symptoms. And I tell him, did you know that brain fog and loss of taste is actually a symptom of radiation poisoning, you know? So here we are. And I've actually done a lot of research on 5G, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've spoken at a lot of city halls and all this stuff. I'm not 100% specialist, but I can grasp it, what 5G is. And to give a little background on this, these frequencies and whatnot, we had 3G, 4G, 5G. 5G is just a much faster cell phone technology, but it's a totally different technology because it's utilizing a much smaller carrier wave. So to explain really quickly, we've got AM, FM radio towers, and then we've got Wi-Fi and all this. And the more data you can carry is based on how many waves you can fit in per second. And it's how many waves you can fit in per second is based on the size of the wave. So these radio waves that are all around us, if our eyes were a little bigger, we'd actually be able to see them. But we can only see the light waves that are out there that are Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet. We can't even see ultraviolet, UV light. We can't see that. And we can't even see infrared. But they're just on the edge of the color spectrums of the rainbow that we can see. And it's all around us, ultraviolet and infrared. But we can't see it based on the curvature of our eyes. Well, further on this light spectrum, and it's still light. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. It's light. It's just light that we can't see based on its properties. There's light that that humanity has learned how to carry information on, like radio waves. An AM radio wave is 100 feet tall, and it can travel great distances based on its size, but it can't carry that much information on it because of how many oscillations you can get per second, how many waves you can get in per second. So an FM radio wave can carry a little more information because it's 10 feet tall and you can get more waves per second. And Wi-Fi can carry even more information because it's only like 30 centimeters tall and it oscillates in size. So 4G, if we were going to give it a measurement, it would be in centimeters. And now all the way down to 5G, we're talking about waves that are the size of millimeters, okay, mm-hmm. which is very, very small, even the size of 1 millimeter, which is the width of a penny. So if you've got waves that are width of a penny, they can get a lot of oscillations, waves per second and a lot more data. And that's what 5G is. It's utilizing these really small carrier waves. Okay, well, these carrier waves cannot go very far. Some companies are saying that the 5G waves can only go 500 feet. Okay, that's kind of archaic for data, for telecommunications. That wouldn't make any sense. This was actually originated as weaponized technology. They would tune it to absorb right in your skin and burn your skin. They were called frequency fences or active denial systems in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. When we were over there fighting, they created this active denial system, ADS. And it was utilizing the millimeter wave that penetrated the skin and just burned the nerves. Well, these waves in the 5G spectrum, they absorb into everything they hit because of the size of the wave. They absorb into water droplets, bugs, birds, humans. So to set up a 5G infrastructure and have it work, you need these repeaters of the 5G signal everywhere, okay? So your 4G phone, you turn it on, and it finds the closest cell tower. And when you make a phone call or send a message or get on your data, you know, streaming a movie, it's connecting right to that tower directly, okay? 5G, it can't reach the tower. So it's just pushing the signal as far as it can, and something else is repeating the signal. Someone else's phone is taking all the data around it and pushing the signal along, pushing relay, 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 relay. So to have that new spectrum, that new broadband, they had to flip the phones into repeaters, like pushing the signal around. And if you have if you have an EMF meter and it was 2019 and you have your iPhone 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 and you measure the radiation coming off of your iPhone in 2019 or 2018, it would be very minimal compared to what it is now. Now it's penetrating these silver bags that didn't penetrate it before because it's right. All on a new bandwidth, new spectrum. It's cranking out so much more radiation. So at the same time that these phones started to penetrate my bags and crank out all this more radiation, very much provable by EMF meters or by my phone bags not working anymore. Like I really started to wrap my head around it. It started to become almost obvious to me that a lot of these people saying that they're coming down with COVID were actually just showing symptoms to the increase in radiation coming off their phone, and their bodies slowly adjust to it, and then they get alleviated of the symptoms, even though that thing is still in their pocket doing that same thing. You've become accustomed and adjusted to it. Our bodies can adjust to a lot. So the Arthur Furstenberg book, Invisible Rainbow, talks about the electrical grid. Whenever there's these big increases in radiation, people get ill, and they're blaming the Spanish flu and all this stuff on that. And I firmly think that based on what I've experienced, that the increase in radiation from the phones, not these cell towers necessarily. So the propaganda machine, here's what it did. The powers that be love to control the narrative of the truth. It is so genius. They give us the truth, but their way, with fear and confusion and misinformation, disinformation. So we were told in Wuhan that people were dropping dead because of, well, was it the bioterrorism? Was it the COVID? Or was it the 5G towers got turned on? People dropping dead on the street. Well, we were told that people are going to start dropping dead on the street because they're turning on the 5G towers, right? And then we are told that in the UK, 77 towers or something like that got burned down. These activists started burning down 5G towers, right? Well, that's the truth kind of hidden in plain sight. Yes, people were about to get sick because they're going to turn on the 5G, but we don't even understand the technology. We're like, okay, I'll stay away from that 5G tower. You got an iPhone 11 in your pocket, you know? The information is a little misconstrued, so we don't see the writing on the wall and understand really what's going on. So then the activism in the space, like you mentioned, David Icke, I think that it's a lot of fear when people can't understand it 100%, and they think 5G is everywhere, 5G satellites, Elon Musk thing and all this stuff, and it's everywhere. Right. It's so pervasive. It's everywhere. What are we going to do? How are we going to hide from it? Turn off your phone is how you're going to hide from it. That's it. Put the phone in the other room is how you're going to hide from it. But people don't have the information to utilize it enough. They don't have enough information to empower themselves, right? By resonating with falsehoods and living in fear, you're not empowered enough to take it to the next level to be able to, you know, be an activist and be empowered and spread that truth with others and really, you know, raise the vibration, because you're out there spreading fear that's not even 100% true. So right when COVID came out, everybody was contacting me really upset and scared and worried. And they wanted me to create shirts and come out with more clothing and whatnot for Sparrow, which for my clothing line, which I did. Please check us out on Instagram, Sparrow Gear, S-P-E-R-O Gear. And I don't know if I mentioned Sparrow is a Latin word for hope, because through this protection and men's underwear and baby blankets and all this stuff, I'm hopeful to bring hope to the next generation with this. It's such a tool of activism, because just having these clothing items, it becomes this talking point, and then you're spreading this knowledge of information, whereas it never even would have come to the consciousness. So I'm really excited about it. There's other companies coming as well, and I hope that this rising tide can lift all ships, and we can literally bring EMF protection to the forefront, and people can start to understand what this invisible soup is around them, and at least shut off their Wi-Fi router at night, or just start to bring this awareness, because it's invisible. It's all around us, and we're in love with the technology. Telling a normal anybody that their phone is out to get them. They don't want to hear it.
No, they don't. I'll tell you what is out to get you. And you mentioned, we're talking about millimeter wave technology. The body scanners at the airport are using this millimeter wave technology, the ones where you put your hands up and everything. I opt out. You know, I've always opted out. I make the TSA work for it. You know what I mean? I make them rub me down good. You know, I make them earn their pay. What is your understanding of how those machines work, you know, how would you categorize their level of danger to the general public?
They fracture DNA and people.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. They break employees, your DNA.
Yeah, employees that work around the machines are high cancer pockets, and there's articles about that, and there's even lawsuits and whatnot. To create a body scan, they're making a map of your body. So if you've got a little razor blade or something, like even under your skin or something like that, they'll be able to see it, even if the razor blade is plastic. They'll be able to see it because they're making a map of your body by shooting you with these waves that absorb into you to create this perfect little map. It's not like sonar where they bounce it off of you with a big wave. They're little waves that absorb right into you and they create this perfect little map. And I've opted out every single time. And I think it's a lot of people are not in the know. You know, how are you to know? And so many people would think, well, this has, you know, been researched and they would never do that to us and all this and all that jazz. But at the end of the day, what does a little teeny wave like that do? It messes with little things inside of you, like maybe sperm cells or your eggs in your body. And you're not going to know how bad it's been messed with until maybe your children are trying to have kids, or maybe you're trying to have kids, or whatever it may be. But the research for the 5G, I don't want to be Debbie Downer or negative or fear-mongering or anything like that. And that's why this is the impetus of the creation of Sparrow, the company. I think that children born and raised and conceived in a 5G environment, they most likely will not be able to procreate. And I think this is by design. You know, this little tiny millimeter wave, it impacts a developing fetus's ovaries and whatnot. And now all of a sudden in Washington, D.C. area, all these baby birds, these teenage birds, are all blind. Nobody knows why, but the birds in the D.C. area are blind. And I think it's because of the 5G, because when they're developing, these little birds, you know, their little eyes are impacted by the size of these waves. You know, it's size really, really matters when it comes down to this. And yes, Wi-Fi can impact you. But, and it does, and it, you know, the radiation builds up and it throws off your circadian rhythm and a lot of things that we need to recognize, such as blue light coming off of LED lights and blue light coming off of your screens. And, you know, you can just filter this out and get a blue light filter or blue light glasses and whatnot. But the blue light, as well as the RF radiation, it confuses your body. We have this endocrine system that's built into our skin, and we have a biological clock as well. And the hormonal system and our circadian rhythm biological clock, it wants to know the time of the day. We absorb sunlight, and when the sun goes down, our body says, okay, it's now nighttime. And then late in the night, our bodies, after the sun's been down for 6 hours, our bodies create melatonin, serotonin, dopamine precursors, and certain chemicals are created at night. Hormones are released at night. And our bodies get completely thrown off if we think that we're in light when it's not light. And that's what the blue light and the radio frequencies, the EMF radiation off the Wi-Fi and whatnot, it throws off our bodies. That's why you don't want to sleep with your phone. You don't want to sleep next to a Wi-Fi router. You don't want to look at blue light in the middle of the night before you go to bed, because your body will think it's noon. It'll recalculate your sleeping schedule. You know, that throws people off, because people think, well, I slept, you know, my body knows to sleep. I was sleeping. No, your body thinks it's daytime still. So you have to get that cycle back and understand it. And knowledge is power. When you start to really see these simple, simple truths, like fluoridation, not in your toothpaste, you know, you don't have to put it in your mouth. I think the most important thing with your teeth is mineralization, eating healthy, and even rinsing with coconut oil in the morning will pull out the bad bacteria and let the good bacteria thrive. I've actually been able to reverse cavities from just coconut oil. But once you start to mineralize and learn about minerals, I know I'm on a little tangent, but if you have a good diet and have a lot of minerals in you, you can even get up to speed on plant-based minerals that even involve metals, like colloidal silver and monatomic gold and even aluminum, but it's plant-based, okay? And then when your body is subjected to these aluminum in the environment, it's not absorbing it, because you've already got you're up to speed on your minerals. Imagine your bones being depleted in calcium, okay? Because you're not getting enough, because you're eating junk food, all right? And candy and sugar. Every molecule of sugar that you ingest, it takes 54 molecules of magnesium to process that one molecule of sugar. So we're depleted in magnesium, we're deficient. You know, we're deficient in certain minerals, and our body is craving it. So imagine your bones are deficient in calcium or magnesium, and then in your environment, in your air or your water, there's these toxins like radioactive cadmium, but your body thinks, because it's kind of close to it on the periodic table or something, your body thinks that it might be calcium, so it's absorbing this toxin into your bones. Well, if you were up to speed on your minerals, you wouldn't even have to be absorbing the toxins, because you're you're above it, basically, if that makes sense. So it's important to recognize these things and treat your body as a temple as best you can, and know these certain things like acidity and alkaline and what not to eat and what to eat and how to treat your body well. And and how to avoid EMF radiation, maybe even get yourself a EMF reader, know what you're working with, and then you can be empowered enough to be an actual activist.
Yeah. And you mentioned, the coconut oil was a good way to do this. One in when I started with the promo for C60 Purple Power, they've got three flavors. One of them, their delivery method is all oil based, and one of them is coconut oil. So, you know, maybe that's for people to consider as well. And we talk about like the toxic soup that we're living in this, in our homes. And this might marry two concepts together, because when we're talking about the toxic soup, we're also talking about the outbreak of fires and things like that. What do we make of the smart meters? Because the smart meters are sort of getting, depending on where you live, they're getting integrated in, normalized, and things like that. I see from time to time, city council, you know, footage of city council meetings where people are getting up there and they're saying, listen, you got to get these smart meters out. They're very dangerous. Here's the science behind it. And trying to push on a local level. What is the smart meter technology? Like, how is the smart meter technology dangerous? And secondarily, who is behind this massive push to normalize the technology?
Mm-hmm. Well, in California, it's PG&E, who was Enron.
Great.
You know, Enron has, you know, very nefarious history and whatnot. And then behind all that is, it's like a New World Order agenda. It's this green initiative. And what a smart meter is, so back in the day, we would have these meters on our house that are the analog meters, and they spin every time we, you know, use electricity. And then once a month or so, the meter maid person comes by, looks at the number, and then you get a bill. And oftentimes they won't even come by every month, because, you know, they kind of know what's going on and they'll bill you, and maybe they got to adjust your bill or something, but they come and look. Okay. Well, now they're putting smart meters on people's homes, and, you know, the word smart, you can just replace that with evil nowadays. It's just, it's not smart. You know, it's really dumb to have a little cell tower on the side of your house, because, but a blessing in disguise in my world, because I got so much radiation poisoning from having one right on the other side of my bedroom wall, is how I woke up to all of EMF and Maid's company and everything. I was getting the worst heart palpitations. I didn't even know what was going on. And someone jokingly said, kind of like how I woke up with chemtrails, someone jokingly said, maybe it's your smart meter. And then I found out it's right there. And I was like, oh my God. And I learned, did all this research. The smart meter, there's different models, which it makes it pretty confusing. But generally speaking, it's about every 5 seconds or so, they're sending a signal that can go 30 miles and reach cell towers really far away. They're sending a signal of how much power your house has used. Every 5 seconds. It's firing out, and you can have your EMF meter and it's silent, and then a couple seconds and it's going out like really far. It's like a little cell tower on your home. Okay. Distance is your friend. Okay. The distance from your Wi-Fi router, distance from your smart meter, distance from the cell tower that's being put on your block or whatever. Distance is your friend in terms of light and sound. And remember, EMF radiation, RF radiation is light. In terms of light and sound, there's this thing called inverse square law, which means it's squared but inverted. So it's not squared, it's the opposite. So, but it's the distance is inversely squared. So distance is your friend. So the further away you get, the least, it's way less radiation. Like it's like, gotcha. It drops off like exponentially, but the opposite. That makes sense. So you don't want a smart meter. It what it does also is it surges dirty electricity through all the wires in your house. And these things, which in Southern Oregon where I live, I think it's the culprit to why we lost 2,400 low income homes. Just boom, 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 all the way down the line. These homes look like they're pulverized electrical fires. Like, what happened there? These smart meters, some of them don't have surge protection to the main line. So in, there was Santa Rosa was one of the first normalizations of these neighborhoods just being pulverized by encroaching forest fires from climate change or something like that. And then Paradise in Northern California, there was these fires that obliterated these neighborhoods. And then again, where I'm living in Ashland, Oregon, that this happened in the neighboring town Talent and in Phoenix. So it's becoming normalized now just to totally level a neighborhood and say, oh, it was climate change. But with these smart meters, they can just surge it down the line, surge it down the line. So what happened in Paradise is PG&E went bankrupt yet again. This is Enron, now PG&E, and maybe they'll come up with a new name, or they'll just stick to their evil ways and have their old name. But they literally went bankrupt and said that there were surges down the line because of a down power line, and they caused all the fires in Paradise. And they let everyone sue and get their, but they never mentioned the elephant in the room, which was the smart meter surging, okay? The electrical fires pulverizing these homes from the inside out. It's these smart meters surging on the homes. So you can opt out. In a lot of California, you can opt out and say, hey, I want my old meter back, and they will charge you a little bit per month or something like that. Some places you can't. And some places you can get it put like a little way from your house on a little outside stand thing that they'll build for you. But if you do have one on your house, you know, it's not the end of the world. Just don't sleep in that room. Maybe get some lead paint if you can get your hands on that and put it on the wall in between you and the smart meter. Come to find out, some evil think tank got together and got rid of that lead-based paint, but I don't think kids were eating it. I think that the petroleum industry, they had leaded gasoline, not unleaded, but they had leaded gasoline, and this toxic exhaust was in the neighborhoods of every neighborhood in the United States, and children started to get sick. So then the petroleum industry was like, oh, we got to get rid of this. And then the New World Order was like, well, we need to get rid of lead-based paint too. Let's just blame it over here and we'll just make unleaded gasoline and no one will be any the wiser. But if we had lead-based paint now, we could protect ourselves from 5G. We can make little Faraday rooms. It'd be totally different. It would be amazing, but we don't. So you can buy nickel-based paint and it's kind of expensive, and you can get big cloths of copper and what have you, and smart meter covers. And there's different ways to kind of try to lessen the impacts of these things. And I really feel for people that cannot get them removed, but do some investigation, inquire. Most people, you can just pay little, get the analog meter on there, but your knowledge is your power. Once you start to realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have my 2-year-old living in the room right next to the smart meter on the other side of the house, the baby gets some sleep and whatnot. Every time the smart meter surges and sticks a signal out, your body's being told it's in bright, bright light, that it's daytime. And also some of that radiation accumulates and builds in your body, and all, you know, it's just overall bad. So we need to learn about that one too, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And this whole 360 degree encompassing of toxicity that's just poisoning us from every angle, whether we're breathing it in or looking up at the sky or sitting next to a router or having a cell phone in our pocket, you'd think that would be enough, but no. They have to get us as well on with the food. And I know you've done great work on genetically modified organisms. And here we go. We've got Bill Gates as the one at one point was the largest individual shareholder in Monsanto. We know what he's doing with the farms. We know what he's doing with the seed vault. We know he wants to dim the sun because that's totally normal. And of course, he's got this massive push for genetically modified food and of course plant-based food too, which is great if you want to grow man boobs. But how's the GMO food operate in this? What does that do to our bodies? And I mean, I realize it's not actual food. It's manipulated. And so they could patent the seeds and all that. So their argument is that it'll feed the planet, our rapidly expanding planet that they're trying to depopulate. But in the meantime, it'll feed the planet. But what does it do to our bodies? You've brought like a lot of information about like what, the aluminum and the blood brain barrier and things like that. And we can understand that, but the GMO foods, it seems like a little bit sneakier to me. What are they doing to our insides?
Well, it's a gut brain barrier. It's a gut biome breakdown. And it's important because we have these microorganisms in our gut that communicate with the microorganisms in our mouth, that communicate with the biome in our brain. And once you start to break it all down, it just becomes a toxic environment. But let's just back up for a second. The GMO, the genetically modified organism, the food, you know, that people throw around this GMO word, but that alone starts to muddy the waters and make it confusing. You know, people don't even know what that even means. Let's make it really simple. Plants, like potatoes or corn, food is being taken and it's being altered genetically so that it can withstand being poisoned, sprayed with poison. This poison would make the plant shrivel up and die, like on the spot, pretty much. Glyphosate, atrazine, these things are very, very, very toxic. Like all sorts of pesticides and herbicides that are coming out are super toxic. And once they tweak the plant to be able to withstand it, then they can spray as much as they want. And the bugs and the weeds, because you got herbicides and insecticides or whatever, pesticides, both those things die while the potato just sits there like nothing happened, but it's embedded with toxins, okay? Long-term agenda, it's a depopulation thing, but if you look at individually glyphosate's almost in everything. They're even sticking it in vaccines. I don't even know why. It breaks down the blood-brain barrier, glyphosate. Atrazine, which a lot of these different chemicals are now being put into the category of hormone disruptors, which mm-hmm. if we start talking about this whole gender thing that's coming out a lot recently and whatnot. And then if you look at hand sanitizers and the chemicals in hand sanitizers, triclosan, especially T-R-I-C-L-O-S-A-N, right? Triclosan, hand sanitizers, atrazine. Atrazine was proven to turn frogs into the opposite sex.
That's Alex Jones. It's turning the frogs gay, everybody.
Right. Yeah, Tyrone Hayes studied that. And then Alex Jones, gay is not, I don't know what to say about that. I think that was kind of making it a little extreme.
Right.
You know, the frogs aren't, I mean, maybe the frogs are gay. They're turning into the opposite sex, you know?
Right.
And what is that doing ultimately is it's making a generation of very passive. I mean, even veganism and getting those omega fatty acids and whatnot out of our brains during the 60s to pacify that movement, pacify that revolution. It's just an ongoing castration of the American public to get them so confused that if you're wondering what gender you are and you're chopping off your breasts and your private part and your, you know, if all that's going on, I don't want to get into all that, but if you're taking off your private parts, you're not looking to unite with truth and fight the New World Order. And to mention Bill Gates, it's very freaking fascinating. Okay. There was a point when I was preaching to the world, Bill Gates is a depopulationist and he wants to block out the sun. And I held a protest. The third Global Chemtrail Summit. I hosted the first, second, and third Global Chemtrail Summit in Vancouver, Canada, then in Portland, Oregon, and then in Tucson, Arizona. The third one was a rally, a protest, a concert, and people came from all over the country and world. It was amazing. And we were there to protest the launch of solar geoengineering. This experiment was to be done in Tucson to dim the sun, to show that they could do it, to launch it publicly, globally. And we came together and we actually put the experiment on hiatus. And now they've moved to Sweden and we can't even go to Sweden. It's totally crazy. Like a person from the United States cannot go to Sweden right now. So it's hard to go there and protest right. This sky dimming experiment. But Bill Gates is behind it. Bill Gates is behind the event 201, and Bill Gates is behind the food shortage potentially, and he's gobbled up the rail system in Canada, and he's this Mr. Burns like evil arch nemesis, you know. But how come all of a sudden the controlled media is letting this go viral?
I know.
Okay, it's very fascinating, and I can't help but think that the promotion of hate and fear in the truth community is disempowering. It maybe feels good. Everyone, let's hate him and he's going to dim our sun and let's make these memes and let's talk about killing Bill Gates and talk, you know, all this horrible, it's hate. But to have all that focus on one guy, look at every single like movies that has an evil villain. There's one horrible evil villain that is the focus of the energy mm-hmm. and maybe Spider-Man or whatever defeats them, some hero or whatever. But at the end of the day, I don't think that our energy, and I think energy is very real and very more important than we could possibly imagine, is the frequency and energy that we put out. And if we're disempowered through fear, we're not going to be uniting in love, you know? I mean, I'd love to see the guillotine come out in love somehow and everyone get rounded up and we do the deed and everyone's happy in utopia and stuff like that. But I don't think that the war, you know, and maybe they'll stage a controlled, you know, assassination of Bill Gates. It wouldn't even be real or something. And then everyone's like fighting the wrong. We can't fight the stealth bombers and the new world order elite. We have to do this a different way. And like the old way is going to have to crumble. But if they're trying to get us to come out with pitchforks and fight this evil guy that we can't even get our hands on, I think it's a weird dismantling of our energy. It's just something I've been pondering recently, but it seems to be real because energy is real. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is. And these guys know that. And they know how to, they're energy vampires. They steal our life force or our souls. They're poisoning us from every different direction. I mean, God, this is such a, it's a fascinating topic that we've gotten into. I wish we didn't have to talk about it, to be honest. I mean, I just wish these things weren't happening, but since they are, I mean, I think it's a priority talking about chemtrails and cell towers, 5G, fluoride, all the millimeter wave technology, all this stuff. And it's all done. Boy, and the most devious component of it is that we are in this world with this sort of underlying mantra, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And yet all these things are, it's not all of them, some of them are very hard for us to see. It's hard for us to see the way, the millimeter waves. It's hard for us to see the electromagnetic soup that we're living in. I mean, there's devices and things like that, but for the general public, we just kind of operate. We don't see it. We don't think it's out there. We're walking through it. And to have this realization and this sort of like shaking the shit out of people, you know, to wake them up to it, I think it's extremely important, because if we can't see it, we don't think it's there. If we don't think it's there, then we don't prioritize it and we don't try to change it. And what a devious component. This is just fascinating stuff. You're doing work at Actual Activists. You've got Spiro Clothing. Where's the best place for people to find you, connect with you, support your work, and purchase your items?
I've got a great network on Facebook. And while I've got that, you know, I hope that I have it forever, but you know, considering I lost my YouTube channel for nothing, Facebook, I am Matt Landman. Come over there, be my friend. Also, actualactivists.com. It's turned into a daily truth blog. I'm also archiving videos over there, and there's a plethora of research and information on those topics that you just mentioned. And you said, like, you can't see it. How are we to believe it? It really takes the right kind of person to dig and be like, oh, there's fluoride in my water. I can't see the fluoride, right. But I need to do something about it to honor the truth with integrity, because my heart and my soul know that something is wrong here. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to kind of, they call it silent weapons for quiet wars.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, we can put on the rose-colored glasses, or we can stand up for humanity and create the world that we all crave. So please find me on there, and then also Spiro Gear, SPERO Gear.com, and Spiro Gear on Instagram. I'm loving the growth in the Instagram page and all the different new people over there. And I've yet to go over to, you know, the YouTube alternative. Are you on any YouTube alternatives?
I'm on Odyssey.
Cool.
And I'm on Rockfin. Yeah. And Rockfin's been good to us as far as a platform for, they've got some, you know, they're really, trying to get the alternative media on there. They're not censoring things. I mean, they tell us right off the bat, look, don't start like a KKK rally on your show and you'll be fine. We're like, all right, great. We're not going to be doing that. Don't advocate violence. All right. We're not doing that either. We're just talking about some uncomfortable truths. And they say, that's fine. So we've had a nice little home there. It's been working out for a bunch of us. So, I feel comfortable there, but hey, listen, cool. If you guys are out there and you are interested in these topics and you are in a position where you can financially support the work of Matt, please do. If you're in a position where maybe you've got more time than you have money, share the information. That's just as valuable. Get on there, get on Instagram and Facebook and support Matt's work. Go to SpiroGear.com, go to Actual Activists and check out his work. That's Matt Landman, everybody. He's the best. We're going to, if you like this episode and you think that we're talking about cool stuff, make sure to take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family, because that's the only way that we're going to get this thing out there to the public. Thanks, everybody. We will see you soon.